is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. We thank you for listening to the show today. It's not all just politics as usual this fall on Capitol Hill. There's a rare show of bipartisanship in the Senate Judiciary Committee, where members there are drafting legislation to reform the federal criminal justice system. If those reforms pass, they could prompt changes at the state and local level, too. And this is a subject I dedicated some attention to last week on this show. And today, we begin right here in New York, where the Rikers Island Jail Complex, which has been owned by the City of New York since the 1880s, is home to more than 9,700 inmates and has earned itself the title of being one of the most notorious jails in the country. Back in June, the jail came under intense scrutiny after the death of 22-year-old Kalief Browder. Browder was accused of stealing a backpack and spent 3 years in Rikers before hanging himself after finally getting out. Maybe partially in response, New York City's council passed new legislation earlier this month to tighten oversight of the city's jails. The new rules require jail officials to create an inmate bill of rights and a code of conduct to be distributed to every inmate upon arrival. Those rules were just the latest in a series of reforms for the city's troubled correction system. In March, Mayor Bill de Blasio took special aim at the Rikers Island facility, announcing new measures to crack down on smuggling and violence.
Everything we're talking about today is about fundamental reform, is about launching a new era here on this island where violence will decrease steadily. It is about changing the culture of this place, and it's about addressing, bluntly, years of neglect.
Statewide here in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration is also starting to put in place new systems to make it easier for former inmates to get jobs, to access health care, and to find housing after coming out of prison. Mary Buser spent a decade working on Rikers as a mental health professional. In a new book, Lockdown on Rikers, Shocking Stories of Abuse and Injustice at New York's Notorious Jail, she chronicles her experiences of that time. Mary Buser told me that above all, her time working with Rikers inmates led her to believe that solitary confinement is a form of torture.
It's wrong. This comes from my own personal experience standing at cell doors. Recently, the UN Rapporteur on Torture has said that anything over 15 days is torture, which I think is very telling. It drove people to all kinds of self-destructive behavior. There was arm cutting. There were makeshift nooses. There was just incoherent babbling. This is a very grueling psychological punishment. People become unglued. If they had no mental health issues before they entered solitary, then typically they will. Virtually everyone in there was on some kind of psychiatric medication to try and withstand it. This is legally sanctioned, carried out in jails and prisons across the country, and I ultimately came to the conclusion that legally sanctioned or not, it is wrong.
You told yourself, I think, when you first saw solitary that, hey, these are bad people who must have done something to deserve this kind of punishment.
Yes, I did. I did. Because that's the hype about solitary confinement, that it houses the worst of the worst, the baddest of the bad, the most incorrigible people in the world. What else could we do with them but put them in here? And when I started off working in what at Rikers is actually called the Bing, I had a hope that this was really true as a way to help me to rationalize the deterioration I was seeing in these human beings inside these cells. And ultimately, I came to realize that that is very, very exaggerated, that many of the punished inmates in solitary have something called impulse control disorders. Not so much that they won't obey orders, but more that they can't. Nothing like at all the Hannibal Lecters we like to imagine are in there. Others are in there for very, very minor infractions, an outburst in the hallway. Solitary is the answer to everything. When I was on Rikers, there were no incentives for good behavior. Just stepping out of line and in the smallest way imaginable, you could wind up in solitary confinement. Additionally, which is very disturbing, while I was there, general population beds were scarce. The jails were packed. And firsthand, I was told by an officer, a friendly officer, that they were under orders, the officers, to write people up for anything because every person you put into solitary, you opened up a GP bed. And that's just appalling, but true. So Sometimes people are in there, hardly the baddest of the bad, worst of the worst. They're there as a function of just logistics.
Well, look, there are rules, there are laws that govern mental institutions on a thing called seclusion and restraint. Basically, if you put a mental patient, if I can use that term, into solitary confinement, or if you restrain them to a bed. And those rules say you can't do it for convenience and you can't do it for punishment. You can only do it if that person is a danger to themselves or a danger to the staff. Mm-hmm. Why don't those rules apply in prisons when often they're the same people?
Yes, they are. Because solitary is used as a deterrent to jailhouse misbehavior, which does raise an important issue. There needs to be a way to safeguard correctional staff, civilian staff, and other inmates. I don't think solitary confinement could be the answer as it exists now.
I mentioned mental institutions, mm-hmm. and I want to talk about them a little bit with you because there was a move in the 80s to deinstitutionalize mental hospitals. And even the Supreme Court had a ruling that said that mentally ill people had to be treated in the least restrictive way possible. We're no longer going to warehouse the mentally ill mm-hmm. in mental hospitals. Now it seems like places like Rikers and hundreds of other places across the country have simply become the new warehouses.
Absolutely. Jails and prisons, especially in New York City, are the new caretakers of the mentally ill. And the tragedy of the shutdown of those hospitals, those big state hospitals, which had become snake pits in and of themselves, what was proposed at that time would be, in conjunction with the shutdown, would be the creation of community-based housing, where people who just can't cut it on their own, even on medication, could be cared for, overseen, have a warm bed, medicated, etc. That very critical piece never came to pass, and that is a tragedy that it did not. And what happened was you have people who just, as I said, can't cut it on their own, just in a free fall, can't make it, fall through the cracks, come into contact with the police, usually for petty sorts of things like loitering, trespassing, and the only answer is Rikers Island. I think it's really a disgrace in a civilized society that this is how we're caring for our mentally ill.
Now, violent crime, Mary Buser, is down across the country over the last 30 years, down sharply. Mm-hmm. But in many U.S. cities, including New York, there's been an increase over the last year. Some reporting out of New York, even in this last week, suggests that the spike in shootings and murders right here in New York are being perpetrated by young people who take up gang affiliations during their time in Rikers, that if they weren't in gangs mm-hmm. going in, that mm-hmm. by hanging out in Rikers sometimes for 18 months or 2 years, mm-hmm. they develop those relationships in there, they come out and they're even more violent than when they went in. I wonder if that surprises you at all based on what you experienced in your years there.
Certainly jails, especially Rikers, have been characterized as breeding grounds for gangs. And I think that's very true. However, there's one big reason for that, and it's fear. Once you are in a gang, you have protection. And Rikers is a scary place, very scary. And it's understandable. I wonder if any of us in those circumstances wouldn't sign up for a gang. As far as what happens when they leave Rikers, it leaves an indelible mark, especially if you're there for, you know, a year and a half, 2 years. It's not surprising. It's a very hopeless place. It's futility. There's nothing positive going on. I think a person will be very transformed coming out of there, and not for the better.
Mary Buser, criminal justice reform is on the agenda in Washington and across the country. I've been covering it. We've been covering it on this show. Those reforms are expected to trickle down to states and cities and municipalities once the federal system is reformed. If they gave you the pen and told you to write in your favorite three provisions about what needs to change, what would you do?
What would I do? Well, I've thought about this a lot. Number one, I would get the what we called in mental health severe and persistent mental illness. I would get the mentally ill out of our jails and prisons. I would, if I had that magic wand, create that community housing. These poor people are suffering badly enough trying to get their brains to function. That would clear out a big number of the incarcerated. The next thing that I would do would be the felony. Felonies are handed out like candy. what happens is people will accept that felony, speaking about Rikers specifically, just to get the hell off Rikers Island. They will take a plea bargain offer instead of going to trial. They'll sign anything to get out of there. So now they have a felony. Once you have a felony, you are permanently barred from mainstream society. I think that felony, instead of it being handed out like candy, should be handed out only in cases where there's a serious or violent crime, not the way it's just given to everyone. And these people, they accept it without any understanding of what it really means. And what happens is when they cannot get jobs, they exist in a fringe type way, getting what they can here and there. It's an unstabilizing existence. And in many cases, their lack of ability to get a job just leads right back to drugs. This barrier has to be very carefully examined because all it's doing is perpetuating this underclass and this chaotic and painful lifestyle.
A correction system that's not at all corrective but punitive, and a new warehousing system for the mentally ill. Mary Buser is author of Lockdown on Rikers, Shocking Stories of Abuse and Injustice at New York's Notorious Jail. Mary Buser, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.